need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Sam Young. He is the CEO of Pensacola Habitat for Humanity and a retired 06 captain in the United States Navy. Sam, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. And just for the people who will particularly care about this, you were an A6 intruder backseater, right?
Right. Yeah, well, we don't have a backseat, but yeah, we...
Or side seat, right? It's side by side, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Sorry. Is that right or left seat? I want to say it the right way. Which one were you?
Right seat.
Right seat. Yep. Okay. And did they call them NFOs back then, or was CISO, or?
Yeah, Bombardier Navigators. Yep.
Okay. Very good. So a funny guppy looking plane, but you know, not the plane you want to be on the receiving end of, right?
That's exactly right. Yep.
Very
good. Target, on time, every time.
And lots of other things supporting 6th Fleet, 2nd Fleet, Center for Naval Leadership, lots of other stuff before you came here to Pensacola or came back to Pensacola. And, you know, we're very glad to have you. The reason I wanted to have you on today is you're kind of doing a meeting this week with some community leaders about the Trust for Public Land, right, which is something that you guys operate?
That's right. We are rolling out our community land trust, and this is an initiative that as a result of the escalating pricing and affordability of home ownership, and the fact that wages just aren't keeping up and that gap is ever widening, we are no longer able to serve those families and those individuals who most need our support, and they're getting left behind. So we did a lot of research. We scanned the country for models and strategies that would help us address and find a solution. And what we have settled on is this concept of a community land trust. And we will now start accumulating, and we've already started to accumulate land in our land bank. And then we will build homes, or maybe even others will build homes on land trust property. And then these lower income or workforce buyers will purchase the home and then lease the underlying land. And what is the brilliance of this concept is there are covenants in that lease that do a couple things. It simultaneously brings down the cost of home ownership because you're extracting the cost of land. So people are only buying the bricks and sticks. But there's also, and that lease is at a nominal fee, but there's also provisions in the ground lease that require for the homeowner to pay it forward, meaning whatever subsidies they have received, whatever down payment assistance they receive, they are required to pass on to the next home buyer. And that home buyer, by covenant, has to be another income qualified individual or family. So therefore, for the first time ever in this market, not only are we going to create an initial stock of affordable homes, but we're going to create a permanent, and that's the beauty of this, a permanent stock of affordable homes. So we are going to continue to build these homes, and these homes will be affordable for generations to come.
Now, the way this works, because it's an interesting idea, and I feel like I don't quite understand some of the particulars of it. I get the general idea, which is sure, you guys or the city will own the land, and it'll go into the community land trust, and that'll save them, obviously, the cost of the land portion of their house. And the ability to protect who's going to be able to purchase it on the other end. But just pardon me for asking simple questions, but so a person actually owns the house, but they only lease the land from the community land trust. That's the first thing. So it's actually their house, just like out on the beach where they don't own the land, they lease the land, right?
Yeah, the only difference is on the beach, there is no restrictions on the appreciation or no governor, so to speak, on the appreciation of the property.
Got it, right.
Here, there are inherent governors to prevent this home from appreciating out of the affordability category.
So how does that work? Because a home, it seems to me like, you know, a home is whatever its market value is. Is it because they're restricted on who they can sell it to, or there's like some kind of a variant on the homestead exemption that keeps down the price of the home itself? How does that actually work? I'm really interested in the how.
When you think about a couple things to think about. Whatever home we live in right now, when we buy that home and then we sell that home 25 or 30 years later, the majority of the appreciation that you enjoy over that period of time isn't the appreciation of the actual house. It's the appreciation of the underlying land. So when you extract the land from that equation, it puts a limit on how much is going to appreciate. The other, and then there's a shared appreciation. So in that ground lease, the initial buyer agrees that they are going to share whatever appreciation occurs with the land trust. So they're going to extract a portion of the appreciation. They're going to extract all of the principal payments they made on their mortgage. So they're going to walk away with some equity. They're going to walk away with the initial creation of some generational wealth, but it's just going to be limited, and that's what allows the affordability to continue from generation to generation to generation.
Okay.
And I want to, I think one of the most important things I want to point out, Andrew, is this is not this is not an alternative to someone who is in a position to go out and buy a fee simple home, including the land. This is an alternative to someone who is in a rental situation. And we know that in a rental situation, you don't accumulate any wealth. You don't get any return on that investment.
Right.
So what we're offering is a less expensive solution for a higher quality home that you own.
Yeah, and I mean, I can see why that would, as you say, if you can take out the land portion, then you can have something that's going to be much more affordable, especially if you're, you know, splitting the appreciation back with the land trust, that you have something that's more affordable and it's specifically constrained towards people who would qualify for it, which, you know, is naturally going to help the purchasing side of it as well for people who need that. Interesting. I have more questions, but I want to ask, are they generally intended to be what you were talking about, 20-25 year ownership, or are they meant to be relatively transitional until people can afford to buy a standard home?
That's exactly right. And the answer is yes. So there are going to be families that are finding themselves, you know, maybe they're wrapping up some educational or certifications and they envision their income growing, you know, over the next 5 or 10 years. And this is a wonderful transition to get them out of that potentially substandard rental, understand and enjoy all the benefits of homeownership, and then eventually move on to a full fee simple home. Others are going to move in, and there are going to be some families that choose this not because necessarily of the affordability component, but because of the location. We're going to build some homes in the core of Pensacola on land trust property, and what that's going to help prevent is this displacement that is happening, you know, throughout the city of Pensacola. And therefore, people are going to choose a land trust home because they want to live closer to the core of Pensacola or, you know, a different locale. And this is a way for them to afford a home in a location that they would otherwise not be able to afford.
How does it work with the property taxes? You know, I know that one of the challenges with gentrification is that your home values go up, your property taxes go up, and if you're on a fixed income, right, it's harder to afford to maintain those homes at those. I mean, that's part of the equation, right? But how does it work with the community land trust homes? Does the person who buys the home still operate as if an owner, the way a homestead exemption would work, and then they can carry that with them to the next home, as in, does that held down value of the property taxes of the home flush away when you do a sale the way it does with a private sale, or is there some other mechanism here?
Yeah, that's a great, insightful question, Andrew. And yes. So what happens is, and what has traditionally has happened with land trusts, and there are a few in the state of Florida who have addressed this, that they argue with the property tax appraiser that the value of this land needs to be significantly reduced as opposed to if you were appraising it as a fee simple property. And some of the property tax appraisers have bought into that theory and some have not.
Okay.
However, a year and a half ago, as part of the Live Local Act, the legislature has codified the practice of some of those municipalities. And now, by law, the underlying land is not it's appraised at zero. So the land trust homeowner is only paying property taxes on the value of the bricks and sticks.
Okay.
So, yeah, so another opportunity to reduce the cost of home ownership for our land trust property owners.
Very interesting. Okay, so I feel like I mostly get it. I feel like there are nuances of this. And by the way, I just want to make sure, I'm 90% sure I know the answer to this, but as you said in the beginning, these are not what you would typically consider habitat homes. These are ordinary homes that could have been built by anybody. They just happen to be on the land owned by the community land trust, right?
That's correct. Now I'm gonna not correct you, but I just want to point out something that we have painfully tried to address, because there is this maybe lagging stigma in the community that, as you referred to, a habitat home is different than a market rate or a
I really wanted to get to this with you too. So good, go ahead. Yeah, because I stumbled across some a couple of years ago when we were biking and we got to talking to one of the homeowners. Hey, these are really nice homes. She's like, well, they're habitat homes. Like, they're not. And she said, oh yeah, they are. So the kind of homes that you all build are completely different than what people think of, like 20 years ago.
Yeah, I challenge people all the time to go around and find me a home that's not, I don't like to refer to it as a habitat home. I refer to it as a home built by Pensacola Habitat. And I would challenge you to go find ones that have been built in the last 10 years, because they look like a home that any other builder that is building a 1,200 square foot, 3-bedroom, 2-bath home would build. They're gorgeous. As a matter of fact, twice, we have won the award for best home under $250,000 in the parade of homes.
And I totally concur based on my experience that I have seen them myself and, you know, kind of was curious, oh, who designed those? She's like, Habitat. I'm like, the what now? You know, so, but you still do the old concept of qualifying through sweat equity, and that's how you get eligible in order to have a home, as you're saying, I'm trying to use your phraseology, a home built by Pensacola Habitat, right?
That's correct. And this land trust, even though we're doing homes on land trust, we still, as a matter of fact, we don't have a waiting list, and I think that's an important point I'd like to get out. We are still putting people through our traditional program,
okay,
where they come in, they qualify, you know, we put them through some education, they put in a little bit of sweat equity, and at the end of about a 9-month cycle, we build them a home on a lot they select with some colors and cabinets they select, mm-hmm, and a home style they select. So it's almost a custom home that we are building on a lot that they select out of our inventory, and in 9 months, they are a homeowner. And that program is still alive and well. As a matter of fact, 4 years ago, we were doing in the low 20s. This year, we're going to do 60 of those homes, not including the land trust.
And one just last thing about, because I'm getting some questions in from the listeners, and I think it's a good one, is normal home loan, home inspection, insurance, repairs are, I assume, all exactly as if you own the home under ordinary circumstances, that none of that is affected by being in the CLT. Is that right?
They have all the privileges and all the responsibilities of home ownership.
Very good. And can you maybe just give people a sense of what's the current footprint, like how many acres are in the land trust and kind of what your goal is over the next, say, 5 years for the size of the land trust?
Yeah, so when we established the land trust, one of the things that that we, the staff and the board, agreed to was we were not going to divert resources from our habitat program into the land trust.
Okay.
So we said we're going to start this, we're going to get the community excited about it, but we're going to look to the outside to resource the land trust, largely with either grant donations or county or city lots, surplus lots that get moved into the land trust. And let me just give you a quick rundown of how we're doing with that.
Okay. Hey, Sam, we're almost totally out of time.
Yep.
Sorry. And I know you're doing this big meeting today, and I know there'll be more information coming, or meeting on Wednesday, but I know there's more information coming out. Any rough, like just a ballpark for the current size?
Well, The state gave us $1.3 million a year and a half ago.
Okay.
The city has already started moving land out of the land, out of the city's coffers, into the land trust. They're embracing it. Santa Rosa County has moved land into our land trust.
Okay. And zoning is all just like it would normally be, or is there something special about it? Zoning
no
is just
different.
Like normal. Okay.
No different. Yep.
Good. Well, Sam, I'm so sorry to have to rush off, but I mean, very interesting information. I'm definitely looking forward to learn more about it. Sam Young is the CEO of Pensacola Habitat for Humanity. Sam, thanks for your military service. Thanks for coming to the community and for helping me and helping our home challenge people to have a place that they can live. I really appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate the opportunity.